100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
Yeah. Well, there it is. There's the official intro, Vic.
Got to say, I'm a little happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm quite pleased with that.
Very cool. Well, where do you want to start, Vic? This is your second...
Right where we left off.
Yeah, okay.
I was just starting to listen to Ray Charles. So this is an album called Pure Genius.
And that was a big undertaking, right?
A little over 9 hours of listening.
Wow.
And I'm not at all depressed about that because it was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first six discs were of every song he recorded with Atlantic Records from 52 to 1959. I listened to every single one of those. The seventh disc was a couple of extra tracks, like alternative versions of some songs that he had done. And then there weren't very many on there. And then the eighth is amazing. It's bonus material, so including stuff like rehearsals. So it was just like being in the room with Ray Charles while
cool.
He's... it was amazing, man. I mean, he goes from talking to... You can hear him going from talking to the producer and the director to just singing like that. You know, just snapping the finger. He sounds like he's on the record, exactly like he does on a record. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was also really cool to hear... At one point, you could hear... I guess it would be the producer talking into his ear the lyrics because he didn't know the song yet.
Oh.
And he kind of, if you listen to this album, at one point on that eighth disc, he kind of basically chews out either the director or the producer. And, you know, he's saying, don't do me like that. And so the guy did what Ray wanted, which was just for him to feed him the lyrics into his ear as he's playing the piano.
Yeah.
You could hear the guy speaking the lyrics and then Ray would sing them. It was amazing. I love Ray Charles now. I'm a big fan of Ray Charles now. And I'm not kidding, will be regular background music around my apartment on the weekends from now on. I loved it. Nick, this stuff, this was the kind of music to me where you could listen at... you can listen to it at any time. It's good for all situations.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, it was just that type of music. It's just good all the time.
Yeah, yeah. We have a little bit of Ray Charles here.
Mm.
I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town good to me.
Was your toe tapping? I can't stop my toe from tapping.
No, you can't. It's great. It's great.
There was one point Saturday night where I was in the kitchen. Jeannie had went to bed. I was in the kitchen baking because I wanted to snack. And I had this on because I had to get through this stuff. It was a lot. And I was jamming, Nick, by myself in my kitchen, dancing, playing the air piano. And at that point, I went and wrote it down in my iPad so I could be... I could be truthful about this. It rocked my world.
There you go.
Full disclosure.
So Ray Charles rocked his world.
Yep.
And it makes sense. It totally makes
sense. Yeah, it was great. That was number 54, by the way.
Number 54 on the list. That's
RS 100.
Okay.
53, The Beatles, Meet the Beatles, 1964.
Yeah, that's the album that introduced the Beatles to the world.
That's what you told me. So I knew the first two tracks, and I didn't know the rest of them. I knew I Want to Hold Your Hand and Saw Her Standing There. And the next 10 were completely new songs to me, completely foreign to me.
That's crazy.
I don't recall hearing any of them.
Wow. Wow. I'm sorry about the reaction, but I'm just like, what?
Yeah, it's going to...
I mean, it's the Beatles.
It's going to happen repeatedly with this journey, Nick. Yeah.
Well, what did you think of Meet the Beatles?
Okay, so that album, I think that I listened to another one.
You listened to the White Album.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is completely different, by the way, different than Meet the Beatles.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this album, and I wrote this down because I thought it was an interesting little fact was that, you know, like you said, this was the album that introduced them to the U.S., and it says on the cover art that it's the first U.S. release. But it wasn't. There was one 10 days before that by Capitol Records, and it was... No.
Capitol.
Capitol Records released the one that says first album. 10 days before that, VJ Records in Chicago released an album titled "Introducing the Beatles." That one actually was released before the other one.
Yeah, those are. It's strange that that label that you mentioned, that Chicago label that you mentioned, is so tied into the Beatles' history.
Mm.
A very, you know, kind of an unknown label historically, except for their connection to the Beatles, and indeed, that's a true story. They beat Capitol Records to the punch.
And was that planned, or
I think so. Did
Capitol know that it was coming? Or?
I'm not really sure on that. I just know that they did end up, you know, some of the rights to the Beatles releases went through that label. And I guess maybe you know they jumped on because obviously that local label here in Chicago was a much 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 smaller, less successful label,
right,
than Capitol, you know, which is considered one of the, you know, sort of the biggest.
And it was before the internet, so Capitol probably thought, well, just put it on the album. Nobody's ever going to know VJ.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
After that, 52.
Wait, hold on. Let's hear a little Beatles. There you go.
Yep.
A little Beatles.
You know, Till There Was You. I loved that song.
That's a great song.
That was a good song. Yeah. I'd never heard that. That was really phenomenal song.
They have, I mean, you know, it's, you know, if we're going to go into the world of the Beatles, there's an astonishing number of songs that the Beatles are responsible for that are absolutely great and classic. That's why they're the Beatles.
Yeah.
And if you're getting more into the Beatles... I know I'm in the minority on this, but may I suggest that you watch a movie called Across the Universe, which is a movie that I absolutely adore. It's a musical with nothing but Beatles songs in it and different renditions of them that were really like their version, the version in the movie of I Want to Hold Your Hand is one of my favorite covers of any of anything. They turn it into like this really sort of, I mean, into this pleading, really sad ballad. It's a great movie. I back that movie 1,000%. I think Across the Universe is great.
What was it called again? Oh,
Across the Universe.
Yeah, I will definitely watch it.
Yeah. So, all right. What was next then?
Al Green, number 52.
Oh man,
Greatest Hits, 1975. The album was virtually new to me. I found, I recognized "Here I Am." I didn't know that was a remake. So I knew the UB40. Was it UB40?
Yeah,
I knew that version. I didn't know Al Green sang that song, so that was pretty cool when that popped up. So very cool song. And to learn that Al Green co-wrote it was incredible, too, because I didn't know any of that.
Well, you know, he's a preacher.
Oh.
Al Green.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he preaches. He does Sunday Mass and preaches at a church right outside of Memphis. And when I went on my first honeymoon back in 1996, when I got married with my first wife, we went to Memphis and to New Orleans, and you know, and then stopped in Memphis again on the way back. And we were there, and we were going to drive out to the church to go to see him preach.
Yeah,
we were too hungover on the Sunday morning to go.
Oh, sinner.
Oh, no, and that's the thing. It's like it's a huge regret of mine. You know, we were on our honeymoon and we were drinking, you know, we're having a great time and we got bombed and then like we woke up too late and we were hungover and we were like it was kind of a bit of a drive, you know what I mean, to get out there, and so we have to get in the rent a car and all that stuff.
Oh, sure,
so,
yeah.
So, but I do absolutely incredibly regret not seeing him preach.
Yeah, there's so many of the amazing artists that I've been listening to over the last 3 weeks that have connections to church.
Yeah, oh,
being their, you know, the genesis of where they... Yeah, I mean. A lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of soul singers.
I didn't know that about Al Green. He has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, beautiful voice. It was unique from... Really, this is an interesting thing about everybody I've listened to on this RS-100 so far. They're all so different from each other.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they landed on that list. But probably. Al Green, yeah, his voice is just so unique.
Let's hear a little Al Green then.
Now that you're here with me, I want to keep you free to do the things that you want to do. The joy in life is loving you. But now the day has come, let you know where I'm coming from. Yeah,
smooth, right?
Incredible. One of the best voices ever in soul music.
Yeah,
really amazing. Okay, Vic, hang on. We got a break here for some weather. Then we're going to come back and find out what else Vic has been listening to and learning about here as we continue with Vic's picks. Right here on 720 WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning, and our regular features will continue. We're going to get to You Big Dummy, and then Straight Out of Context, and Nick D Show Spies, and then Fly Jams Friday. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Speaking of Vic Vaughn, we're in the middle of Vic's Picks. This is Vic taking a journey of learning about music and listening to all 100 of the Rolling Stones' top 100 albums, and he's going in order from 100 up to 1. And we're going to get back into that. But we do have a question. Chris from Midway sent in a text with a question, Vic. And it says, hey, Vic, so far, what is your favorite kind of music?
What would you classify Jimi Hendrix as?
Rock, that would be rock.
That's I keep saying by far. It's pretty close, actually, but I think that's my favorite album so far.
It's Electric Ladyland.
Yeah, and then probably Sticky Fingers by the Stones. Yeah, I fell in love with that album.
Both of those are rock albums.
Man, I know I'm a, I think I'm leaning towards rock more than probably anything else.
Those two, no country
on this list.
At all?
I don't know. There might be. I'm not finished yet. Maybe.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Hope so.
I guarantee you Live from Folsom Prison shows up.
Oh, yeah. I bet you're right.
It's got to be on there. All right. Well, what do we got next, Vic?
Yeah, Chris, I would say Jimmy Hinton. What is it called? The
Electric Ladyland.
I was listening. Oh, is that the name of the album?
Yeah.
Okay. The band is called the Jimi Hendrix
Experience.
Which I called Experiment in the podcast.
Right, yeah, it was first Experience. Because their first album was Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced, is the first record.
Okay.
So,
The next one, number 51, Simon Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Great record.
Yeah. Okay, I cheated. I listened to this one 5 times before I moved on.
Because
I loved it. 1970. Paul Simon's writing, it was jaw-dropping to me.
It is.
Yeah. Some of his lyrics, man, just they had an effect on me like I don't know that any other music has. I'm going to go back and listen to everything he's ever written.
He's consistently great songwriter. With Simon and Garfunkel and solo.
Really?
Just unbelievable songwriter.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't heard much of his music other than, you know, just throughout my life if it was on. But I haven't heard a ton of it, so I can't wait.
There's a lot out there.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Lots. And when you get to the album Graceland, you're going to be for a real treat.
Oh, okay, good.
So, yeah. Let's hear a little Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, when times get wild and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I'm
I got teary-eyed when I was listening to that a couple times.
Beautiful song. Beautiful. Yeah. And a classic.
Absolute I knew that classic. One, obviously, and I also knew track three as well. I had heard Cecilia. I loved that song.
Yeah.
Didn't know it by its name, but same for track six, The Boxer. I didn't know it by its name either.
That's one of my favorite Simon and Garfunkel songs of all time.
I obviously remembered that the chorus is so memorable. That's a great song.
Well, and then the interesting little tidbit you probably don't know, Vic.
Why do you say that? I probably don't know.
Well, after 9/11, they took a couple of weeks off. You know, they delayed the first episode of Saturday Night Live. And they opened up because, I mean, nobody knew what was going on at that time. And obviously, SNL is such a New York, it's so tied to New York. It's an institution that they had to address 9/11 in some way. So the opening of the first episode after 9/11 occurred, the entire stage was filled with first responders and firemen and stuff. Still have dust on their coats from being down in the World Trade Center area. And it was Lorne Michaels, and at the time, obviously, Rudy Giuliani was the mayor. And they opened up the show and introduced, they said that they were back and that they were going to do the show, and they wanted to thank the first, the first responders and everything. And then Paul Simon came out and played The Boxer. And it was, you could hear a pin drop.
Wow.
I did not know that. Yeah, he came out and he played The Boxer, and then they did another intro, and then they started the show. Mm. But that's how they kicked the show off.
Wow.
All the first responders, the mayor, policemen, everybody, and Paul Simon singing The Boxer.
Oh, I will have to go back and look at that.
It's an amazing moment.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll definitely go find that. Okay, let's see. Oh, a song I fell. We're gonna have to hurry too, because but another song I fell in love with on that album is "Keep the Customer Satisfied."
Yeah,
that's a good song.
Yeah, lots of
but
great
again,
songs.
The lyrics got me on this album. I'm gonna jump forward to number 50, Little Richard.
Oh yeah, sure.
Here's Little Richard, 1957.
Yeah.
Again. Shocking to me that this is a debut album of somebody's debut album.
Yeah.
Because right off the bat, Tutti Frutti, I mean, it's just...
Well, Little Richard is one of the architects of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the forefront of the beginning of rock and roll as it was known, he's one of the architects.
Yep, I read that about him.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about him until this week when I listened to this album and read a little bit about him. That song is in the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little important, this art that he put out. But the album felt very rock and roll to me, but at the same time, a lot of soul in the way he sings. I read his nickname, another guy who started singing in church, his nickname was Warhawk in church. They named him that because... in their words, all of his, quote, screaming and hollering.
Oh, I see. So, he did do a lot of hooting and hollering.
Mm-hmm,
no question about it. All right. How many more do we got?
We got the one, two.
Okay, let's go on to that. What's the next one?
Number 49. Okay. The Allman Brothers. Number 49, The Allman Brothers at Fillmore East. That album rocks.
Yes, it does.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something real quick. This album, I tried to listen to it 3 days in a row. I've been just whipping through these albums. I've been able to listen to them in the background, in the newsroom, or at home.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into this one. It was, the only way I know how to put it, it was a little more complicated than the other albums that I had listened to. And so I had to find a block of time where I could just sit and do nothing else but listen to it. And I did that. Not last night, the night before.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an amazing album. One of my favorites, up there in the top couple.
Yeah, you're definitely, from what we're hearing so far, you're definitely a rock guy.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
That's what you're leaning towards.
But that's why the next album threw me for a loop.
It's a, it's widely considered, that album, by the way, is widely considered one of the best live albums ever, and sometimes considered the best live album of all time.
I read that, and I understand why now, because there's a 19-minute long song on that album, and there's a 23-minute long song on it.
They tend to jam.
Not a single note in either one of those was gratuitous. They all need to be in that song.
There you go.
It was perfection to me.
Okay. All right. Now, here's the next one. What's the next one?
Number 48. My biggest challenge, I think, Public Enemy, it takes a nation of millions to hold us back.
I got to say, I was just completely thrilled that we were gonna hear your thoughts on It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by P.E. What did you think?
Well, the first thing I saw when I got to it, I thought, oh, boy.
Yeah.
But
is that the guy from Flavor of Love?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I looked at the album cover and I thought, is that Flavor Flav? I didn't know he was in Public Enemy.
He's the hype man for P.E., yeah.
Yeah. Very different from anything, obviously, on the list that I've heard so far. But at the same time, sounded very familiar to me as well because, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and that sounds to me like 80s, I don't know what you classify. Is it hip-hop?
That's hip-hop. Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounded familiar to me, as you know, and then I started reading about it, and that was a game-changer, that album, you know, for hip-hop. So,
absolutely.
And the lyrics, I mean, I would have to go back and listen to that more intently because I couldn't understand all of the lyrics. I could definitely tell there was a lot of activism. They're very focused on social issues, that whole album, lot of it anyway. But then I got to Louder Than a Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I love that song. If I had to name a hip-hop song as my jam, that's my jam for now.
Louder Than a Bomb. That's Vic's jam.
That's definitely my jam.
I love that. That's outstanding. That's great. Well, that's great, man.
I got to say one thing real quick before we go on. I'm noticing there's been one negative side effect that I've been having since I've been doing this. And ever since I began this journey to listen to every great album, I'm starting to do this thing when I listen to like a great solo or whatever, I look like a person who's like actively being electrocuted. I got I look a little weird.
Okay. All right. Well, Vic continues his music journey, and we'll check in with him again next week with Vic's Picks.